Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. I'm talking today with one of the people who inspired me to start this website, Julie Drury, one of the inaugural Kick-Ass Canadians. Julie is an athlete, mother, healthcare advocate, a woman of many talents and incredible strength. Julie, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
You and your family have been through an incredible amount these past many years, but especially the last one. Can you talk a bit about Kate and her battle with mitochondrial disease and what the past 12 months have brought your family?
Yeah. Well, as you know, and maybe some of the people listening know, Kate passed away November 30th, 2015. So this time last year, she had suffered serious complications after her bone marrow transplant. And we did the bone marrow transplant. It was recommended to us by her specialist to try and treat, it wasn't a cure, but to try and treat her rare form of mitochondrial disease. What happened was totally unexpected. And we, you know, it's absolute tragedy to lose a child, but to lose a child under the circumstances that we did was, you know, double fold. And so, you know, we've been really reeling from it. As individuals, you know, my husband, myself, and my son, but also as a family. So it's been a really, really tough year.
Well, you've been focused on channeling your energy and getting something positive out of all of this. You joined the Mito Canada Board of Directors this summer, and you've achieved a lot through sports and Team Mito Canada. Can you talk a bit about what you've done with this past race weekend in May and also what's coming up in 2017 with Team Awesome?
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, and as people listening know, I'm a runner. I came to running when Kate was about 2 or 3 years old. It was a means to try and do something for myself and to be active. And I love competition and I love pushing myself. And so marathon running didn't come naturally to me, but I guess I've turned into a marathon runner. A week after Kate died, my very good friends got me out running because I had qualified for the Boston Marathon for that coming year. And the training schedule required that I get out and running in early December. And so I started back to running right away. And it was really hard. And I missed a lot of training days because, you know, just days that were just so intense with grief that I really couldn't get out of bed or get outside. But I did run Boston. I ran it in April, and I ran the slowest marathon I've ever run, and it was really hard, and I was very proud of myself. And then 4 weeks later, I ran the marathon at Ottawa Race Weekend, and that one was very special because, again, I kind of, you know, pulled myself out of, you know, the intense grief that I was suffering and rallied to try and do something in Kate's memory. And so we dedicated race weekend this past year to her memory. We changed our Team Mito shirts from the typical green and black to a nice bright pink. We put Fight Like a Girl in the back, which is sort of Kate's hashtag. And we all ran for her. And in doing so, the team raised $53,000, which was topped up by a prize from Race Weekend for the largest amount raised by a charity. So we raised $58,000. And Mito Canada, incredibly, allowed us to direct that money. So it was a direct contribution to mitochondrial disease research at the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, CHEO, which is a hospital that cared for Kate for most of her life. So it was an amazing accomplishment. It was because of all the people who had such an incredible passion and love for my daughter. And that was a pretty amazing thing. Yeah. Sorry. So pretty proud of that. It was exhausting for me physically and emotionally. I don't recommend running back to back marathons 4 weeks apart. And it was emotionally exhausting too. It was really a difficult thing to do. And so I took most of the summer off, really haven't, you know, been running much this fall, just a little bit here and there. The coming year, though, we are committed to running again as Team Mito Canada for Race Weekend. And as part of that, Ottawa Race Weekend has this really cool group of individuals, if I do say so myself, called Team Awesome, which is a group that's basically meant to, you know, motivate and help with training tips and help people get out there for Race Weekend and just truly enjoy the experience. And this year being the 150th anniversary It's a big deal. They're making Race Weekend one of the sort of profile things for 150 years of Canada. And so I'm super proud to be part of that group, Team Awesome. And we're really active on social media. And if you ever visit social media or Twitter, the hashtag Team Awesome is where you'll find us. And so, yeah, that's going to be part of the platform for building Team Mito Canada again for Race Weekend in May.
It's amazing. And you also have an event coming up this weekend, the Tremblant 24-Hour Relay. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so the Tremblant 24-Hour Relay is a ski, 24-hour ski relay and also a running relay. And a friend of mine approached me, in the early summer and said they were planning on putting a team together and they wanted to call it Fight Like a Girl in honor of Kate. And we were very moved by that and, you know, absolutely agreed to it and agreed to them to use Kate's picture to sort of promote the team and to build the team. And we're a ski family and obviously a running family. And so we decided that we might like to try to participate as well. It's really meaningful to us because it's raising money for three major charities. So the SENS Foundation, of which Roger Nielsen House, the pediatric palliative care hospice in Ottawa, is a major recipient of their funding. And Kate spent a lot of time at Roger's House and was supported by that team for most of her life. And the other major charity is the Charles Bruno Cancer Center at St. Justine Hospital, which is where Kate had her bone marrow transplant and is where she was cared for the last mostly 9 months of her life. And incredible physicians and nurses and teams there that we are, you know, we're still in contact with. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter with a lot of them. And we have such a... you know, despite the tragedy that we suffered, we have so much respect for the people that work at that facility and that cared for our daughter. And so it just seemed like such a good fit. So, you know, my son Jack is an avid skier and he just really saw this as something that he could do and participate in and something that was really positive and he could honor his sister. And I think he finds it hard to do that. I think he finds, you know, that challenging to do. So we really jumped on at the opportunity. And of course, if he's going to ski, I decided I would run. So we're going up as a family to participate in that. And so far our little team of like our little motley crew of friends and family and some people that I don't even know has raised over $25,000.
Wow.
So we're pretty pleased with that. Yeah. That will go directly in contribution to those charities that I just mentioned.
What does it mean to you to be able to accomplish so much in Kate's name and to have so many people wanting to contribute and help honor her memory?
You know, the thing I always said about Kate is that she was a real force. I mean, she was not a typical kid in many ways, right? Her disease being one thing, but just her personality and how she could engage people and bring them together. It was just really amazing. And I don't credit myself for that, my parenting or my mothering skills. She was just that type of child. And so in her death, it's just so important to us that her spirit, her passion for life, what she accomplished in this world in the 8 years she was here isn't forgotten. And I think she made such an impact. She literally saved people's lives. I got an email from a dad in Chicago today whose little guy has the same mitochondrial disease that she does. And he was thanking me for Kate being the trailblazer so that his child didn't have to wait year after year after year for a diagnosis, that they knew exactly what was wrong with him almost immediately and that they knew what their treatment options were. Kate was the last person to receive the bone marrow transplant for SIFTY. They determined after, you know, the challenges and the complications that she had, that this isn't an appropriate treatment for this disease and that it should not be used in this patient population. And, you know, the fact that my daughter had to be the last one through the door and had to be the one for them to make this conclusion is, you know, I can't even describe the pain. I live with it every day. And I don't want her to have made that contribution, but she did. And that's what she was about. And so, keeping her spirit alive, keeping her energy alive, keeping people passionate about, you know, what it meant to be Kate Drury, but also recognizing the importance of spreading the word about mitochondrial disease and helping to raise money for research is, I think, the best thing that we can do to keep her memory and her spirit alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how important it is to your family to do all of that, but you've also been very open about the days and moments when you don't feel up to anything, and you've written beautifully about it on your blog, Searching for Solid Footing. Is there anything you want to say about what it means to you to move forward or to not move forward from all of this?
I think I feel a bit of embarrassment about not being able to move forward, to be honest. I wouldn't call it depression. It's been called adjustment disorder, which I find amazing. the intensity of my life with Kate, I could never really describe to anyone unless they really saw it firsthand. I was a full-time mom, but I was a full-time caregiver and literally being her nurse and her pharmacist and her care coordinator and everything for 8 years. And that just stopped abruptly. And adjusting to that, as well as the pain of losing her and the circumstances around her death, it's dropped me into a hole. I work really hard on stringing a couple of good days together. I haven't managed to string together a good full week. I work really hard on putting one foot in front of the other. I really rely on my mindset as an athlete to try and, get myself out of bed, get myself dressed, have some breakfast, maybe go outside that day. I work really hard on pushing through. And I'm waiting for when that gets easier. It hasn't gotten easier yet. I'm waiting. And I wish it was sooner, but it's not. It's not coming easily. I put myself out there, though. I know that I have to do things in order to realize the possibility of feeling better. So I MitoCanada was looking for a new director for their board, and I've joined that. It's not a ton of work, but it's something I'm passionate about, and it's something to keep me connected to Kate and to the MitoCanada community. And so, I'm looking for little things like that help me to have a reason to get up in the morning, to be honest. The blog, I hadn't written in the blog for a long, long time, for months. I think it had been 6 or 7 months since I'd last written. And the reason that I wrote the 5 essays at Searching for Solid Footing was I wanted people to know what had happened. And it was the weekend, the anniversary weekend of her death, that I wrote those 5 essays. And I almost wrote them actually under the same timing as the circumstances had unfolded a year earlier. And I was reliving what happened and sharing and really, I think I 99.9% laid everything out. You can't ever get to 100 because the pain dive is too deep, but I wanted people to know, and I want them to understand what happened to us and to her.
What do you most want people to know, to learn from all this and to remember about Kate?
That's a good question. To have compassion in life for other people, to understand that everyone has a journey, and you never know what's going on in someone's life. People see me on the street and they think, oh, you're looking great. You look good today. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that great, but you look good. And I have to accept that that's how they want me to be, but it's not necessarily where I am. So having a compassion or an empathy for where people are at their lives, supporting the idea and those charities, those little teeny tiny charities that are running or trying to participate in sport to raise awareness around rare disease. There was an amazing run the other day for Jonathan Petrie, who has EBD, epidermis bullosa. And, no one ever heard of that before. Jonathan Petrie, who's a local child here in Ottawa. And there was over 10,000 people show up for this run to support this boy. And I just, the power of connectivity that we can find through sport and the passion that we can have to support one another. If you're going to go run a race, why not look for a race where there's a little charity that could really use your your support and your attention and maybe some of your dollars. So that's, you know, one piece of, I think, what Kate left behind through me. I think the piece for us is there's many lessons learned for the healthcare system and for care providers in looking after a little girl like Kate. There was mistakes made. There's lessons learned. I hope that another family doesn't go through the tragedy that we went through, because people are willing to listen and willing to learn. And then the piece for our family is learning to live without her. And that's not a lesson to be learned. That's just something that we're going to have to carry, a heaviness that we have to carry. It's probably the worst thing that could happen to someone, is losing a child the way we lost Kate.
I can't even say how sorry I am for your loss. I hope you all begin to heal soon. And I want to thank you for being so open and for bringing Kate into our lives, Julie.
Thanks, Amanda. And I truly appreciate doing the follow-up. And I'm always kind of a bit stunned that I'm on this kick-ass Canadian group, because I look at some of the people that you've been able to interview and pull in, and what an amazing group of individuals. I want to give one last plug for Team Mitocanda. So this year, Team Mitocanda in Calgary is going for another Guinness World Record. They are trying to do the longest tethered marathon, and they're looking for 150 marathon runners who know that they can run at least a minimum of a 5-hour marathon to run tied to 149 other people. So if you're interested in that, you can check out the Team Mitocanda website. So it's mitocanda.org/team. And it's going to be pretty incredible. I might have to find some kind of flight to get me out to Calgary right after I run Ottawa.
That's amazing. Well, good luck with that. And thank you so much for sharing, Julie.
Thanks, Amanda.